By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya'i wa al-Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of Madari Channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, I'm excited again to be welcoming you back to another morning with Madani Channel. MashaAllah Azza wa Jal, another morning of rise and shine, my dear viewers. Alhamdulillah, every single morning we have a new topic. We speak about something different, but we try to every single day. Alhamdulillah, we have our daily hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now, we always begin by listening to the tilawat al-Qur'an. There are, alhamdulillah, even stories within the Qur'an for us to learn lessons from. And amongst the most, or is even known as the best of the greatest of stories, the story of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, chapter number 12, which we had completed. And now we are on chapter number 13. We are on Surah Ar-Ra'd, the chapter of thunder. Allahu Akbar, the chapter of thunder, my dear viewers of Madari Channel. And subhanAllah, it just makes me think that, you know, in terms of the weather, the things are getting cold. Very soon we may be having some thunder. My dear viewers, now some people would think, why is it that, for example, we had the chapter of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, didn't we? Chapter number 11. I think so, Allahu A'lam. And there was not much said about Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam. So there's different reasons as to why the chapter is given a particular name. So in that one, for example, because Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam's name is mentioned, so after that is known as the chapter of Yunus. And many times, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, chapters have many different chapter titles. Remember, these are something which, you know, have been given, have been ordained, but sometimes it comes in the Ahadith Sharif. But my dear viewers, alhamdulillah, the Quran Al-Kareem, in its entirety, from beginning to end, is absolutely perfect. Is the greatest in terms of the language. It's absolutely beautiful, my dear viewers of Madani Channel. Eloquent, rhetorical. It's the greatest. And subhanAllah, they are not able to bring anything like it, even if the entire humankind was to come together, and the jinn kind. You could even bring others if you wish. But it doesn't matter who it may be. If everybody was to come together, nobody can bring anything which matches the Quran al-Kareem. Subhanallah. This is the beauty of the Quran al-Kareem. And look, there are many miracles of the Quran. And from amongst those are that, subhanAllah, many people are able to memorize it by heart. Many people, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, without understanding it, they're able to memorize an entire book by heart. Many people easily memorize it too. Easily. I can't remember where I heard about somebody memorizing the entire Quran in like a month. Let's just take Ala Hazrat Rahimullah Ta'ala. In 1 month, he memorized the glorious Quran. SubhanAllah. Ala Hazrat Rahimullah Ta'ala, he had memorized the entire Quran. So this is a miracle of the Quran itself. This is a miracle of the Quran itself. It's so beautiful that we don't even need to understand it. But yet we enjoy listening to it. We enjoy reading it too. And my dear viewers, we should try to regularly, inshallah, read the glorious Quran. And one of the best times to read is after Fajr Salah. After Fajr Salah is one of the best times to read Al-Quran Al-Kareem. Is the, Now, there are different types of worship, aren't there? But you will think this yourself sometimes too. And especially, mashallah, those who will travel on the Madinah Qafila, they realize that, you know, spending time in the masjid, you feel such peace when you're away from the world. Honestly, so many people tell me this. Those people are either traveling on Madinah Qafila, those people who are doing itikaf, And they say that, you know, many people, mashallah, they do, they leave their phones at home. Or they'll keep their phones switched off. They think, you know, I'm going to devote myself. I'm going to, inshallah, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to stay, you know, keep a little distance from the world. I've come to the mosque. And many people, they say this. They say that, I just wish it could carry on. I just don't wish to go back to the world. I love this. This is how it is, my dear viewers. And they'll read the Quran and they'll worship. And sometimes, you know, everybody else has gone to sleep and somebody will go up at night and they'll wish to worship more. And that person is possibly somebody who's never read his salah before. This is there is an enjoyment, a contentment. It does bring about peace and inner harmony. Inner harmony, my dear viewers, to recite the glorious Quran, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with proper sincerity, not just to show, inshallah ta'ala. So please make the intention to regularly read the glorious Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me the ability to regularly recite the Quran too, inshallah ta'ala. Let's listen to the recitation of the Quran. We are on chapter number 13, Surah Al-Ra'd. Let's listen to the Quran al-Kareem and then we shall continue. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا.
وَيَسْتَعْجِلُونَكَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ قَبْلَ الْحَسَنَةِ وَقَدْ خَلَتْ مِن قَبْلِهِمُ الْمَثُلَاتِ.
اور تم سے عذاب کی جلدی کرتے ہیں رحمت سے پہلے اور ان سے اگلوں کی سزائیں ہو چکی.
وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَذُو مَغْفِرَةٍ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى ظُلْمِهِمْ وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَشَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ.
اور بے شک تمہارا رب تو لوگوں کے ظلم پر بھی انہیں ایک طرح کی معافی دیتا ہے اور بے شک تمہارے رب کا عذاب سخت ہے.
وَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَةٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِ.
اور کافر کہتے ہیں ان پر ان کے رب کی طرف سے کوئی نشانی کیوں نہیں اتری.
انما انت منذر ولکل قوم هاد.
تم تو ڈر سنانے والے ہو اور ہر قوم کے ہادی.
اللہ یعلم ما تحمل کل انثى وما تغیض الارحام وما تزداد.
اللہ جانتا ہے جو کچھ کسی مادہ کے پیٹ میں ہے اور پیٹ جو کچھ گھٹتے اور بڑھتے ہیں.
وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِمِقْدَارٍ.
اور ہر چیز اس کے پاس ایک اندازے سے ہے.
عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ الْكَبِيرُ الْمُتَعَالِ.
ہر چھپے اور کھلے کا جاننے والا سب سے بڑا بلندی والا.
سَوَاءٌ مِّن أسر القول ومن جهر به ومن هو مستخف بالليل وسارب بالنهار.
برابر ہیں جو تم میں بات آہستہ کہے اور جو آواز سے, اور جو رات میں چھپا ہے اور جو دن میں راہ چلتا ہے.
له معقبات من بين يديه ومن خلفه يحفظونه من امر الله.
آدمی کے لیے بدلی والے فرشتے ہیں اس کے آگے اور پیچھے کہ بحکم خدا اس کی حفاظت کرتے ہیں.
ان اللہ لا یغیر ما بقوم حتی یغیر ما بانفسهم.
بے شک اللہ کسی قوم سے اپنی نعمت نہیں بدلتا جب تک وہ خود اپنی حالت نہ بدل لیں.
وَإِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ سُوءًا فَلَا مَرَدَّ لَهُ.
اور جب اللہ کسی قوم سے برائی چاہے تو وہ پھر نہیں سکتی.
وَمَا لَهُم مِن دُونِهِ مِن وَال
اور اس کے سوا ان کا کوئی حمایتی نہیں.
هُوَ الَّذِي يُرِيكُمُ الْبَرْقَ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَيُنْشِئُ السَّحَابَ الثِّقَالَ
وہی ہے کہ تمہیں بجلی دکھاتا ہے, ڈر کو اور امید کو, اور بھاری بدلیاں اٹھاتا ہے.
وَيُسَبِّحُ الرَّعْدُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ مِنْ خِيفَتِهِ وَيُرْسِلُ الصَّوَاعِقَ فَيُصِيبُ بِهَا مَن يَشَاءُ وَهُمْ يُجَادِلُونَ فِي اللَّهِ
اور گرج اسے سراہتی یعنی خدا کی تعریف کرتی ہوئی اس کی باقی بولتی ہے, اور فرشتے اس کے ڈر سے اور کڑک بھیجتا ہے تو اسے ڈالتا ہے جس پر چاہے, اور وہ اللہ میں جھگڑتے ہوتے ہیں.
وَهُوَ شَدِيدُ الْمِحَالِ
اور اس کی پکڑ سخت ہے.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. Dear viewers of Madinah Channel, mashallah, you are watching Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah, عز وجل. That was the tilawat of the glorious Quran, the tilawat of the Holy Quran, as well as the Urdu translation right there, mashallah, عز وجل. And we should teach our kids about them, what happened, about the history of Islam. And this is something which is very, very important. The seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is of utmost importance. Yes, there are those things which are fard, those things which are obligatory. We must know how to pray our salah. We must know how to perform even before that ablution, ghusl, you know, things that is faraid, unnecessary. There are some things which are absolutely necessary we have to do. If we don't do, we're sinners. And then, my dear viewers, there are some of such great importance. Such great importance, my dear viewers. And if we were to give importance to this, alhamdulillah, you know, many of the problems people would be facing, they would not be facing. If they knew, if they had read, or they heard or learnt about the seerah, the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Personally, I love reading the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. No doubt nothing could match it. That's another point though. Yes, nothing can match the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not the seerah can. Of course, he was the greatest of all people. He had the greatest of lives. And what do I mean by the greatest of life? Not luxury, nor on riches, nor medievals, but rather the best of manners, the best of character. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is, and always will be, the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds. Yes, my dear viewers, he is the last and the final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beloved of the entire creation. Subhanallah, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest of all. He for whom the entire creation was created. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And if it was subhanallah, yes, the Quran al-Kareem is the Naat Sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. It is praise upon Rasulullah sallallahu alihi wa sallam. And subhanallah, there was something I heard from one of my teachers not very long ago. My teacher was telling me that when reading the Quran, yes, we should recite that, we should read the translation too. But never imagine whilst reading the Quran along, or for example, I've just heard the translation. I'm talking about the translation and even the commentary if possible. So whenever reading the Quran, yes, we should read the translation. We should read the translation as well as a commentary written by a proper Sunni scholar. But when reading the translation, whilst you're reading the translation, you're in a particular mindset. You have some sort of emotions too. So most of the time you are understanding it in accordance to how you're thinking. So if you were to read the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you were to know the actual true background, so when those ayat came down, why they came down, how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was feeling, and then this will be so much more beautiful. You will enjoy it so much more. And this, my dear viewers, is just one aspect from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That to truly put the Quran in perspective, to truly understand the Quran al-Kareem. And yes, different people will understand it as to a different level. You know, there's the that of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that which the companions directly, imagine this, they've directly been taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then there's the tabi'un, etc. And we've come, what, 1400 to 1500 years later? Allahu Akbar. We're getting further and further away from the time, the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions. That was their, you know, their understanding was, you know, some of the companions say that if I was to lose the saddle to my horse, I could look in the Quran and I could find where it is. Subhanallah, yes, why? Because everything's within the glorious Quran. It's just about us, how much we can understand, how much we can take, how much we can actually understand from the glorious Quran. But to get a better understanding of the glorious Quran is to read the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam too. Then even the commentary itself will make more sense, you'll understand it even more, and you think, oh wow, yes, and this is what happened at this time. And you will enjoy it much more too. Yes, do not like these seerahs and things we enjoy. But when you are aware of the biographies, or the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let's just say, when you are aware of sometimes even the, yes, brief biographies that we have of other prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is so much more we understand. There's so much more we shall enjoy it too. And this is very important. It's of huge importance anyway to learn about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then, my dear viewers, you will enjoy it. This is what's beautiful. People wish for, you know, fictional things. And this is what's happening. We're living in a world where we are, in a way, not living in the world. We're living in a dreamland. And we wish for everything to be like a storybook. You know, we wish for everything to be perfect. And we wish to, you know, happily live happily ever after. But we need to live in the world we are right now. We need to live in the present, not in some sort of dreamland. And the reality is that the best, you know, those things we can enjoy reading too, rather than turning towards fiction, etc. No, things we can enjoy reading at the same time, things we can learn from at the same time, things we could even be rewarded for. The seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quran, the commentary of the glorious Quran, read the, or listen to the lectures of the Sunni ulama, inshallah azza wa jal. My dear viewers of Madani channel, alhamdulillahi azza wa jal, rise and shine. We are watching, we've listened to the Quran al-Kareem. We shall now be moving on to the Naat Sharif of the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the last and final prophet and messenger, the greatest Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Taba, 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 taba,
Madina.
نقشہ ہی کچھ ایسا ہے
شہر نبی تیری گلیوں کا نقشہ ہی کچھ ایسا ہے
خلد بھی ہے مشتاق زیارہ جلوہ ہی کچھ ایسا ہے خلد بھی ہے مشتاق زیارت جلوہ ہی کچھ ایسا ہے
شہر نبی نقشہ ہی کچھ ایسا ہے شہر نبی تیری گلیوں کا نقشہ ہی کچھ ایسا ہے
دل کو سکون دے آنکھ کو ٹھنڈک جلوہ گی کچھ ایسا ہے دل کو سکون دے آنکھ کو ٹھنڈک جلوہ گی کچھ ایسا ہے فرش زمین پر عرش بری ہو لگتا ہی کچھ ایسا ہے فرش زمین پر عرش بری ہو لگتا ہی کچھ ایسا ہے
شہر نبی تیری گلیوں کا نقشہ ہی کچھ ایسا ہے شہر نبی تیری گلیوں کا نقشہ ہی کچھ ایسا ہے
سمت نبی گئے پوچھتے نبی پر اور سجدے کی حالت ہے سمت نبی سجدے کی حالت ہے آقا نے تسبیح بڑھا دی بیٹا ہی کچھ ایسا ہے آقا نے تسبیح بڑھا دی بیٹا ہی کچھ ایسا ہے
نقشہ کچھ ایسا ہے شہر نبی تیری گلیوں کا نقشہ کچھ ایسا ہے
عرش معلا سر پہ اٹھائے طائر سدرہ آنکھ لگا عرش معلا سر پہ اٹھائے طائر سدرہ آنکھ لگائے پتھر بھی قسمت چمکائے تلوار ہی کچھ ایسا ہے پتھر بھی قسمت چمکائے تلوار ہی کچھ ایسا ہے
شہر نبی تیری گلیوں کا نقشہ ہی کچھ ایسا ہے شہر نبی تیری گلیوں کا نقشہ ہی کچھ ایسا ہے
رب کے سوا کسی نے فرشی ہو یا عرشی ہو رب کے سوا دیکھا نہ کسی نے فرشی ہو یا عرشی ہو ان کی حقیقت کے چہرے پر پردہ ہی کچھ ایسا ہے ان کی حقیقت کے چہرے پر پردہ ہی کچھ ایسا ہے
شہر نبی تیری گلیوں کا نقشہ ہی کچھ ایسا ہے
جمشید و سکندر اس میں کیا ہے جمشید و سکندر، اس میں کیا حیرانی ہے؟ ان کے غلاموں کا اے اختر رتبہ ہی کچھ ایسا ہے، ان کے غلاموں کا اے اختر رتبہ ہی کچھ ایسا ہے۔ جب سے قدم پڑے ہیں رسالت ماب کے، جنت بنا ہوا ہے مدینہ حضور کا۔
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم۔ My viewers of the channel, mashallah عز و جل, you are watching Rise and Shine, and that was beautifully recited, alhamdulillah, about the beautiful city of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. The beautiful Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to regularly visit Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, to inshallah عز و جل visit there and make that be the last place we are alive, inshallah. I wish for this dua. May Allah ta'ala accept this, inshallah ta'ala. Rise and Shine, my dear viewers of Bandhan Channel, is all about, alhamdulillah, all about positivity. Rise and Shine, my dear viewers of Bandhan Channel, is, you know, you begin your day in the morning and we should be happy. Remove any negativity, remove any sadness, inshallah. Yes, things happen, and sometimes, yes, we don't just immediately be happy. You know, for example, some things which happened, yes, we have been even given permission in our religion to, whether that be crying in the right manner. It's not a sin crying. The problem is things, other things such as wailing. Let's just say somebody passed away and people begin to wail. Sadly, which we see many a times, even up until this day. I was shocked, to be honest, sometimes seeing the things which take place. So no medievals, but crying, there's no harm in it. And sometimes it's good, out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People would, yes, not only cry, it's even said about the one tear. If a person is to shed one tear, then inshallah azzawajal, he shall be pardoned from the hellfire. Inshallah azzawajal, the fire of hell will never be able to harm such a person who cries out the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, crying sometimes is good, but we must always remain positive. We must always remain hopeful. Be hopeful in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never feel despondent. Never feel despondent or hopeless. No, my dear viewers. Alhamdulillah, you know, whatever difficulty there is, inshallah, there's goodness in the future. Inshallah, there's goodness in coming ahead. And alhamdulillah, as Muslims, we have this true belief. Alhamdulillah, azza wa jal. That, you know, for the Muslims, inshallah, that is Jannah. So always be happy, don't worry. Sometimes, yes, we have hardships. Sometimes, yes, we do have some sort of hardships. We have some sort of obstacles in our way. But many times, this is only a means for, inshallah, our sins to be pardoned and forgiven. Now, today's topic, my dear viewers, today, we're speaking about something. Let me think. I'm just thinking. This is possibly the most important thing, in a way, because it depends what we're referring to. But what I'm speaking about is speech. This is what I shall be speaking about today. Speech itself. Yes, I shall be speaking about speech. And this is of utmost importance, because there are many other things, my dear viewers. There are many other things which can happen, but the one thing which causes the most damage is, and it'll be rude for me to stick out my tongue, but really, it's our tongue, our speech, what we say. And some people will say, no, there's other things. There's nuclear weapons. Nuclear weapons can destroy a nation. But many times, even for those nuclear weapons to go off, a person needs to speak or give the order. Speech, which causes war. It's also speech which brings about peace. It's speech, my dear viewers, which brings a person to Islam. Yes. Speech brings a person to Islam in order for us to become Muslim. What do? We testify, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Speech, my dear viewers. When we recite this, we become Muslim. When we recite this, we have entered the folds of Islam. I testify there is no God but Allah. And that Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam is his last and final prophet and messenger, his servant and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is speech which brings us in the folds of Islam. And there are many actions we can do, but most of the time, it is speech which can also take us out of the folds of Islam. Many times it's what we say which can be mazalah kufr. So many times what we say, my dear viewers of the nation, is the reason for us to leave the folds of Islam, mazallah. May we be forever protected from it. So if you think about it, speech has such an importance that speech can be the cause of eternal bliss and happiness. But this same speech, this same tongue can also be the cause of eternal punishment. Allahu Akbar. Speech. It shows how, and it said, isn't it, that this is something, our tongue. Now, many people, they associate speech with the tongue. Although, yes, we require the entire mouth. You know, the teeth play a part. If a person has no teeth, I don't think, well, I know they can't say many things, but I don't know what they can say is the question. A person has no teeth, I don't know what they can say. So the teeth are also important when it comes to speech. It's the entire mouth. But many times we associate with the tongue, don't we? And this tongue, my dear viewers among the inshallah, is something which it's flexible, it's soft, and it has no bones. So it's completely soft. I don't think you could hurt yourself with your tongue. You can bite yourself. I'm just doing it as I'm speaking. I'm not biting myself, by the way. You can bite yourself. You can bite your own tongue sometimes. But you can never harm yourself or anybody with the tongue. Why? Because it is soft. It has no bones. You can bite somebody and harm them with the teeth. You can harm them with your head by headbutting somebody. You can harm them with the fists by punching. Or with your hands by slapping. With your feet or legs by kicking. So the rest of the body parts, you can harm somebody. The tongue, you cannot physically harm somebody. The tongue, you cannot physically harm somebody. But with the tongue, you can create destruction. So people will be thinking, how? You can't harm somebody physically. How is it you can create destruction? Because with the tongue, you give orders. You can order somebody to be killed. You can order for a war to begin. You can even order peace. You can even order for people to stop fighting. You can order for a war to be ended. Yes. So the tongue, no doubt, holds huge importance. Even things such as in marriage, it is by means of the tongue that a person has a divorce, or by means of a tongue that even a person does nikah. So it holds a huge importance, my dear viewers. Speech is of absolute importance. But then, yes, we understand it's very important. We've understood this now. Speech is very, very important. Even within our deen, within our religion, speech is of extreme importance. But then, my dear viewers, of Mother Inshallah, we have types of speech, don't we? As we said, there are some types of speech which lead us to paradise, inshallah. Some forms of speech which can lead us to the fire of hell. So there is good type of speech and this is bad speech. And speaking, subhanAllah, we speak about the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's the speech of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Every single one of them, we call hadith, don't we? Pearls, full of meaning. And things which are life-changing. The words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you know, many times, my dear, this is one thing I've realized, that many times we hear things, like quotes and things. So you'll always quote a person and say, this person, this is what they say. And if you were to think about it, if you were to think about this and ponder over this, and you had some understanding of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Al-Quran Al-Kareem, then most of the time, if that is a good saying, if that is a good quote, most of the time we'll see that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam much earlier had already taught us this. That the companions radhiallahu anhum, they had much earlier, hundreds of years earlier, had taught us all these things. And if it was speech, is yes, and sometimes you think, I heard something and it changed me personally. One thing which really had a huge effect on me, if a person sacrifices something for knowledge, they gain nothing. If a person sacrifices everything, they gain something. Meaning the more you sacrifice, the more knowledge you can attain. And I tried to sacrifice something and thus I gained nothing. But we need to, you know, sometimes it is quotes, people's sayings, which does have a huge effect on us. So that's one example which really did change my life, which really did have a huge effect on me. Another example is the saying of Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radhiallahu anhu, we are such a people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us honor through Islam. Islam has brought this honor. Islam is our honor. If we were to turn towards anybody else for it, for honor, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall disgrace us. This is one of my personal favorites. I love this quote. The saying of Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radhiallahu anhu. This beautiful teaching that our honor is Islam and we should be proud and happy to show and say that yes, we are Muslims, alhamdulillah. We are followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are followers. You have your idols. You follow people. But I follow the greatest of all people. You follow such and such celebrity. I follow the leader of a billion or so Muslims. You know, now it's way more than a billion. Subhanallah. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the greatest of all history. That's, who are you speaking about? I'm speaking about the greatest of all history. Allahu Akbar. Coming back to speech, let's go to our daily reminder, inshallah, and then we shall hear a little more on now this good speech, this bad speech. And most of the time, yes, with some exceptions, but most of the time, we know what good speech is. And we know what bad speech is. Bad speech is mostly that which shall bring somebody harm. That which is vulgar. Yes, some things are considered vulgar, aren't they? We have swear words, etc. So those, everybody knows what is considered to be vulgar. So there's vulgar language, there's bad language, or those things which denote upon something which is bad. And then there's also good language. We shall continue with this after the daily reminder. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
The Sahaba-i Kiram alayhim ridwan, those noble personalities who had the good fortune of spending a lot of time with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They served him, they sat in his company, and they learned a lot from him alayhi salatu wa sallam. Now, as ummatis, as followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in what regard should we hold the Sahaba? And let me tell you what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has instructed us, what he has guided us in regards to his blessed companions. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Akrimu ashabi. Honor my companions, فَإِنَّهُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ, because they are the best from amongst you. Now remember, the Sahaba-i Kiram alayhim ridwan were the first people to believe in the message brought by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as such, the verse of the Quran, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ, this firstly applies to them. Whenever we remember the companions alayhim ridwan, we should remember them in a good light. And this is the aqidah of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, that whenever we make mention, dhikr of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, we only mention them in a good light. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forever make us amongst those who honor and respect the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and keep us far away from those who disrespect the honorable companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. David was speaking about speech. So there's good speech, there's evil speech, there's bad speech. There are many people who just can't control what they say. And there are many other people who, you know, they think before they speak. And this is a beautiful attribute. Alhamdulillah, it's also from the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would speak slowly. Sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would repeat what he says. He would sometimes repeat what he says. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no doubt, yes, think before they speak. We find this from the companions too. And we've been told, everybody's told this. We're told this as children in primary school. Think before you speak. We're always told this. Think before you speak. And it's very important. Because there are many people, yes, who are speak, you know, they speak a lot. Many people who speak so much. But many of them, we find many people who they do not think before they speak. They just say anything which comes to their head. And many times this causes them problems. Yes, before speaking, we should think. We should think before speaking. Any language which is inappropriate language, we should refrain from. Vulgar language, you know, these are one of the first things, yes, you should refrain from. And then disrespecting others, or any language which shall bring harm to others, we should refrain from. And we should speak about those things which are good. It said, isn't it, that remaining silent is better than not all speech, bad speech. So speaking good is better than remaining silent. But remaining silent is better than speaking bad. So there's one thing which is speaking good, and we should do this. And subhanAllah, some people will be saying, oh, you're speaking so much right now. Yes, I am speaking. Allahu Akbar, it's my job to speak. Maybe I should stay silent, but it wouldn't have been any good if I was just sitting here staying silent. Well, alhamdulillah, I have this belief that alhamdulillah, whatever I say, not all the time, no doubt, nobody's perfect. But I try to be careful, especially when I'm on live TV, and alhamdulillah, try to speak good, to invite people towards goodness. This is from the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the sunnahs of every prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to invite people towards the deen, to the religion, to speak good. Speaking good is better than remaining silent. But remaining silent is better than speaking bad. And many times, my dear viewers, remaining silent is, you know, is the best. Because what happens is some people who don't have control over their tongue, they may think, okay, yes, you know, I'm going to remain silent, fine. Then they think, but speaking good is better. And they'll speak and speak and speak, but then they don't have control over what they can say, over what they're able to say. And they end up saying wrong things. And they end up saying bad things. And so many people, subhanAllah, sometimes it's shocking. Sometimes they're speaking, maybe it's a joke to maybe offend others, or as the people say, banter. I don't know if this is an international term. It is used in many places, but I don't know if it's international. I mean, just as a joke, you can say. But we offend others. We speak wrong, we speak bad. These things we should refrain from, inshallah ta'ala. We should only speak good. We should invite people towards goodness. We should be very, very careful when we're speaking. If we are angry, then it's better to remain silent. If we are angry, then don't speak. Because when a person is angry, they don't have full control over their speech, over what they are going to say. So if a person is angry, just remain silent and wait. You know, even the great leaders, alhamdulillah, which we see in history, that the great leaders, what do? They would never immediately give a ruling. They'll wait, especially when they were angry, they'll wait a day, they'll wait 2 days. Because yes, it has been said that the neurological response to anger itself is about, I think, 2 seconds or something. Around about 2 seconds or something. That's completely nothing. But the effects, the after effects are huge. So sometimes, okay, the actual response is 2 seconds, the rest is us. But sometimes, this is channeled and it remains for a very long time. It may be the very next day, a person is still very angry. The day after, 2 days have passed, a person is still very angry. You know, they still have that feeling. Yes, they're not about to explode the way they were on the first day, but they still have this, or they're still influenced. They're still under the influence of anger. The influence remains for some time. Then a third day, and by the way, one thing to do, we have been advised, is if you're angry, if you're standing, sit down. If you're sitting down, then lay down. What happens? Because when a person is angry, they're about to explode, they're about to harm somebody maybe physically. No, when you're sitting down, then you lose the explosiveness. When you're sitting down, you lose, and what's explosive? It's the legs, aren't they? That's what grants you the ability to move so quickly. If you're sitting, then lay down. When a person's laying down, they're completely on the ground. They're not able to be explosive at all. Subhanallah, perform ablution. This will rid of it, inshallah ta'ala. Wait 2-3 days, even before giving a decision. Why? Because it's still under the influence of anger. So before you speak, and you say something, you will later regret. Yes, many times you can hate somebody, that's fine. But sometimes you will say something. You will say something which, you know, Allahu Akbar. It's better not to say anything than to say something you regret. Speech, my dear viewers, inshallah, should be good. Whatever we say should be good. We should invite others towards goodness. This is speech. And then, alhamdulillah, our scholars, the ulama, they have given great importance to silence. Remain silent, remain quiet. And subhanAllah, I've heard this many times, that how many, you know, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanAllah, has created us in a perfect way. The way our hands are, how the eyes, on where the eyes are positioned, the nose, where the nose is positioned, the mouth, where it's positioned, the ears, where the ears are positioned. You know, the head on top, imagine the head was to be, you know, the humans, alhamdulillah, they've been created in the most perfect manner, in the perfect way. And not all this wisdom behind every single thing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, for some things He's given us one of those. For other things He's given us two. We have 2 feet, 2 legs. We have 2 hands. We have 2 ears too. 2 ears too. But my dear viewers, we have 1 mouth. We have 1 tongue. And some of the scholars, they say that you have 2 ears, but you have 1 tongue. You must understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything is no doubt replete with wisdom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you 2 ears, listen more. He's given you 1 tongue, speak less. It's the other way around. We speak so much and we're not even able to listen to people. If somebody's speaking, we'll just interrupt them. No, I would just listen to them. There's ways of speaking too. A conversation, a dialogue. Whatever you wish to say, and sometimes you may not agree with what the other person is saying. But these ways of speaking, these ways of speaking to your parents, these ways of speaking to your children, they're not the same. These ways of speaking to your siblings. If it's the elder brother or sister, you speak to them with respect. If it's younger, you speak to them with love. Respect and love. Either way, you speak with others, you know, you give other people respect, and that's when they'll respect you. You can't disrespect others and expect them to be so kind and respectful to you, no. Your parents, you speak to them with respect. And this is very, very important, my dear viewers. Nowadays, a problem we have is we think we are on a level with our parents. You are never on the same level as your parents, no. Your parents should be spoken to with respect. Your parents should always be respected. And you do not speak to your parents. And sometimes it's, you know, I find it saddening Honestly, find it very, very saddening. Sometimes the way if a person's mother or father may be very elderly now, and they speak to them like they're children. Sometimes they speak to them like the children. No, they're not your children. Yes, maybe they are suffering from maybe what, some memory loss due to their age. Maybe they are very, very weak now, and now they're dependent upon you. But do not speak to them like they're children. No. They're your parents, your mother, your father. They're your paradise. They can be the cause for your hell too. And if it was different people, we speak to it in different ways. When you go to work and you're speaking to your boss, then you'd be the kindest and the nicest of people. But when sometimes when a person is speaking to their own, it may be very elderly parents. They speak to them sometimes like the children. This is completely wrong and very, very bad. Very sad too. Remember, one day maybe you will be put in that position. No, you speak to others, you give respect to everybody. But remember, you speak to different people in different ways. Some are elderly, some are younger. You don't call a very elderly person your brother, do you? You won't say brother. No, out of respect, you'll say uncle. So you speak to different people differently, and we should approach everybody and speak to everybody with a level of respect they're deserving. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. We are going to move to our daily hadith sharif. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
A very wonderful hadith, subhanallah. The companion, the son of a companion, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu has stated, my father Abu Awfa visited the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carrying the zakat. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessed him with this supplication. O Allah Azza wa Jal, send down mercy upon the family of Abu Awfa. Now, commenting on this hadith, Sayyidina Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi stated, Sayyidina Abdullah is proudly paying gratitude to the Lord that we and our honorable father have been blessed with the supplication of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Some said that the word al here is extra, meaning family. But the truth is that family in its actual meaning is that the blessings are bestowed upon Abu Awfa and the family. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam does not pray for these people only, but also for their offspring and their family members. Subhanallah, getting a dua from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May we do such good deeds as well that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam grants us and our family members with a dua. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And if it was you are watching Rise and Shine, alhamdulillahi azza wa jal, that was the daily hadith sharif. There's a beautiful story, one you may have heard before, and nevertheless I'll mention it. There was a prince, and this prince suddenly became silent. There was a time when the prince would speak like no ordinary prince, and then that prince suddenly just became quiet, suddenly just became silent, didn't say a word. Now, being a prince, people, you know, thought they'll be careful. If he doesn't wish to say anything, what can we say? What can we do? This person's a prince. He'll order for us to be punished immediately. So, you know, they kept their distance. They stayed with him. They did whatever they would normally do. But he just never spoke. He never spoke a word. They once went hunting. That people would do, they'd have their bows and their arrows, and they're going to the jungle to where many trees are, and they go hunting. And this prince, you know, he takes his bow and his arrow. He's maybe all of them have them, maybe him, and it was different. Many times it would just be the king or the princes themselves who would do the shooting. The other just would be with them as an entourage, as protection. He has his bow and his arrow. Some people will be thinking, how is it you're holding it? By the way, I have no idea. I have no experience whatsoever. But he has, however it's done, he has his bow and his arrow, my dear viewers. And he's waiting for the moment. And then suddenly he just waits. He hears a noise, immediately moves and he shoots. And then this prince then speaks. But what is it that the prince says? The prince then says, as long as the bird was silent, it remained safe. As long as the bird, so it was a bird which he had captured, which he had shot, as long as the bird was silent, it remained safe. But as soon as it spoke, it became the target of an arrow. And regrettably, as a result of speaking, I also spoke out. Now, my dear viewers, there are, subhanAllah, many lessons to be taken from this. But one is, yes, when you make noise, you do attract attention, sometimes the wrong attention. For example, the bird. When it was silent, then he didn't know about it. He didn't know about its existence. As soon as it spoke, he knew about it, he captured it. It was the end of the life for the bird. Many times, as my dear viewers, when we're silent, and then even a quiet person, immediately a person thinks, when a person's quiet, people pay that person more attention. Because it's natural, it's normal, we fear that which we do not know. Remember this, this is a general rule. Generally, we fear that which we do not know about. When it's dark, why is it people fear the dark? People are scared. Many people are scared. Some people, I'm not scared, but many people are generally. And you possibly would be scared many times too if you were outside. Nowadays we have street lights. Yes, it is dark. You've not seen proper darkness. When it's very dark, people are scared. Why? Because they don't know. They don't know there could be an animal attacking us. They don't know there could be a snake. They don't know. If they feel something, immediately they'll jump. I've seen this many times. You know, someone touches them, they jump. They're scared. We are scared of those things which we have no idea about. So when a person is silent, a person cannot truly understand them, does not know what happened, unless they really know the person, what type of person he is. But let's just say you were to meet somebody. Somebody was very, very quiet, or there were a few people talking, but one person is very, very quiet. Then what will happen? We'll have this respect towards that one person. Why? Because we don't know yet. And sometimes what happens is that person is so quiet, but then what happens is he says one thing, and that one thing is just stupid, and then you think, Allahu Akbar, this person is a bit dumb. You know, this is sometimes what a person thinks. So sometimes when this person speaks out, he loses all respect. But as long as that person was quiet, people respected him. They didn't know what he was about. But then when he says something so typical, you think, this person is nothing. This person is typical. Forget, I'm not even bothered. Or sometimes when this person speaks, he only says a few things. And the things he says are wise and are good and full of meaning. And then people give more attention to his words. Or sometimes people will turn towards that person. What do you think? And everybody will be paying attention. Why? Because this person we don't see speaking regularly. Let's see what this person thinks. Honestly, try this. Speak less. Whenever you do speak, think before you speak. And inshallah, you will realize, if you do speak good, that people will actually pay more attention to what you are saying. And subhanAllah, one person said, I remember one person was asked, I always try to, invite others towards goodness. I this is what I always do. I always, even in my friend circle, I always try to tell them, etc. And another person said, you don't give jewels, you don't throw pearls and jewels at pigs. It was quite a strong example given. But nevertheless, a very important one, that if there are people who are not understanding, if there are people around you that have no respect, then what's the point in sharing things with them when it is a waste of time? Yes, it doesn't mean don't invite them towards goodness. Yes, invite them towards what's right, etc. But don't waste too much time with such people. Don't speak too much. You know, especially around people who don't pay much attention to you. What's the point? Then you're not really coming. They're not paying no attention. What are you gaining from it? Don't waste your speech. And in fact, subhanAllah, another very, very important point is that everything we say, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's no good, no bad, as we call mubah, whatever you say, everything is noted down. And everything we shall be asked about. So if you remain silent, everything, whatever, you know, there'll be our book of deeds, which we will have to read out. If we remain silent, then we'll make things, we make life so much easier for us. But if there are huge and many blessings in remaining silent, honestly, try it, attempt it, and inshallah, you yourself shall see the benefit in remaining quiet, in remaining silent. There's worldly benefits, and there's benefits in the akhirah too. The worldly benefits, people, when you do speak, people pay more attention. When you do speak, you think before you speak. You think before you speak. People do look up to you. They think this is a person, a silent man is a man of wisdom. Many a time, not all the time. Silent man is a man of wisdom. So remaining silence is good. Yes, I know we're living in a world where people think, and yes, people say that, you know, you should speak a lot. You should speak this time is all for everything. Yes, sometimes you should speak out. And people many times think, this person doesn't speak at all. By speaking, it boosts a person's confidence too. There are many advantages. But you need to think, and you need to ponder over this. That the things I say, what do I say? Whenever I speak, you know, do people respect me more or do they respect me less? Not only for self-respect, but what do I say? The things that I say, is it something which could cause me harm or not? Is it better for me to remain silent in such a state than remain silent? This is better. There's a famous saying, that person who was silent, he gains and achieves success, inshallah ta'ala. But if it was, we have a department of Dawat Islami. One of the beauties of Dawat Islami is that Dawat Islami is not a national organization. Dawat Islami is not an organization for one particular city, no. But rather the entire world. But if it was, let's hear a little about a department. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, it's Dawat-e Islami.
Islamic scholars are needed to present the message of Islam to the whole world. Dawat Islami has created a department through which Islamic scholars are produced. Jamiat al-Madina. Leaders of the Ummah are being prepared in Jamiat al-Madina in an exceptional way. Along with the Dars-e Nizami, there are various languages and skill enhancement programs that are also available to them. Scholar skills are developed in order to prepare them for the modern world. Let us show you how Jamiat al-Madina of Dawat Islami is providing us the scholars in Pakistan and abroad.
The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold.
At the time of presenting this documentary and performance, i.e. December 2023, more or less 1,500 Jamiat al-Madinas have been established in the country of Pakistan and abroad. Yes, alhamdulillah, 1,500 Islamic universities have been built around the world. Until date, about 124,000 students are studying Dars-e Nizami completely free of cost. And amongst them, there are thousands of them whose accommodation is also our responsibility. Food, accommodation, all of their affairs are managed by your Dawat Islami. This department does not charge any fees and is running completely free of charge. And religion is also being taught free of charge as well. You'll be happy to know that with the blessings of this department, many ulama have been produced. And so far, by the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, about 31,000 211 Islamic brothers and sisters have been graduated through Darsa Nizami, and they are performing their services in different countries around the world.
It's all over the world by the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Mandarin channel, there's a hadith sharif, man swamata najah, that on the translation is the one who remains silent, they want deliverance. They are the successful ones. It's also said, As-samtu sayyidul akhlaq, that silence is the head of all morals. As-samtu arfa'ul ibadah, silence is a worship of high, is a worship of high virtue. Silence, my dear viewers, is of utmost importance. It's very important for us to remain quiet. And if there's a foolish person, then there's no point in speaking. Sometimes we think we always have to defend ourselves. Sometimes you don't. We don't always have to defend ourselves. You don't. Some people think, oh yes, I have to speak to defend myself. Sometimes you don't. Just remain silent. End the story. Because many times if you're speaking to a foolish person, then you're just wasting your time. My dear viewers, inshallah, today we've heard a little about speech. We should control our speech. As to what we say, we should think before speaking. If making a big decision, we should not make a big decision straight away. But rather we should wait. Especially if we're angry, then the best thing you can do is remain quiet. Remain silent. If you're angry, then you do not wish to make any big decisions. You shouldn't. Because many times you will make such a decision, you will later regret. And as I said, yes, we should teach our children about the history of Islam. We should teach them about the lives of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. That's all for now. Hopefully we shall be returning for more rise and shine, my dear viewers. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.